Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, and this is the South Tower Pop Star Cybertron Congregation. Now I'm out of South Tower in Elgin, Texas. Today is March the 22nd, 2024, or the 22nd, third day of year, dollar 2028. We were going to continue now with our services on about the leopard light beast. That we're continuing on before we left off my last service. And we're on page 91 of Two Shepherd Rods, Volume 2. And it says that said to Yahshua, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We'll do a little review from our last study so we can connect on better. It says in the last paragraph of page 90, it says, if people care to find the truth, it can easily be done, but the fact of the matter is that they do not care. People would rather be deceived than to ask Yahweh to show them his truth. Yes, they pray, but their prayers are not heard. For he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. For the so-called Christians of this day say that Scripture is in the Old Testament, and for the Jews only. For we turn unto the New Testament for the light upon the subject. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heaven. Matthew 5:19. For the honest in the heart will surprise with surprise to hear the word from the impious scoffer of the day. That does not mean the law of Yahweh, it is a commandment of the Asher, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. True, but which one of the Ten Commandments can you break and yet fulfill the commandments of the Asher? And if you love your neighbor, will you dishonor your Yahweh? Are not the first four kept for the showing honor unto Yahweh, and the last six for the testing of our love unto men? So it said to Yahshua, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:40. Is the begotten Son of Yahweh working in opposition unto his Father? For the revelation of Yahshua, which Yahweh gave unto him, was shown unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of the Yahshua. Revelation 14:12. Has not Yahshua said that his saints keep the commandments of Yahweh? Again, the carnal mind raises an objection, for they keep the commandments of Yahweh and not the law. But the Spirit declares, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law of transgression. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offended at one point, he is guilty of all. For he that says, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of the liberty. James 2:9-12. Blessed are they that fear his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. For the keeping of his commandments is a ticket into heaven. For to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according unto this word, it is because there is no light in them, Isaiah 8:20. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. For he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. After losing one devilish loophole, the carnal mind takes hold of another, determined to serve the devil and deceive himself, and with his nose in the air, he utters the words, we are not to keep the law according unto the letter, but according unto the Spirit. For the letter telleth, but the Spirit giveth life. For his misconceptions of what truth is leads him to believe that to keep the law according unto the Spirit, he must disregard the written word of Yahweh and seek the divine law according unto his own ways and in harmony with his carnal mind, making void Yahweh's own inscription, see Exodus 31:18, thus exalting the finite above the infinite. What greater blasphemy can one commit? We give here a brief explanation of the subject. For to keep the law according unto the letter is for the building of a wall around it, as the proud Pharisees did, for we quote 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Therefore, though we kill not, yet hate our brother, we have kept the law blameless according unto the letter, but not according unto the Spirit. For the keeping of the law according unto the Spirit has a broader significance than the carnal mind can conceive. I must keep the whole law. I must keep the whole word of the Yahweh in every respect. Otherwise, I would dishonor him and would become a transgressor of the law, as a disobedient son dishonors his earthly father and becomes guilty of the fifth commandment in the law. Are we saved by the law? No, indeed. We are judged by the law. So if we willfully disobey the word of Yahweh, we fall under the condemnation of the law. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:26. But if we love the righteousness of Yahweh as expressed in His law and determine for to obey His holy word, wherever found, the Bible or spirit of the prophecy according unto the revelation by His Spirit, then we receive the power that enables us for the fulfilling of the divine purpose, and thereby our sins are blotted out by the blood of Yahshua, and thus we are made free from the law, and its condemnation placed under or with the divine grace. For it is true that people like to be deceived, flattering themselves that they are on the way to heaven, while Satan winks at their ignorance. The word of Yahweh said, and many shall follow their own pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 2 Peter 2:12. This proves how sectarianism sprung up. Now I want that scripture. I want that emblazon on a big piece of wood. I want that put up. That fits my son's description, Gregory, right through the tape letter. Boy, his mother sure did it a number on him. All of her children. She did a number on him. She delivered him. Oh boy, she delivered him. She's going to have her way. She said that they're going to mind her and not me. And I said, no, you're not going to live in this house. So she packed her stuff. And look where she's at today. As it has been proven and generally accepted that the seven churches of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, represented the history of the church in the Christian era, it is evident that the church was split into seven sections. For the latter sin being the last, she is also in danger of the falling according to the testimony. Many of the true witness. Let's read that last sentence again. For the land of sin being the last, she, which is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, she is also in danger of falling according unto the testimony of the true witness. Now the true witness is Yahshua. It says so in Revelation 1:5. It says Jesus in Revelation 3:14. So then, because thou art lukewarm and not a cold in the heart, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. So now he's talking about a specific person here. He's talking about the angel of the candlestick. For Yahweh has sent a message after a message for the giving light upon his written word. For they were intended for the correcting of the error, and for the rebuking of the sin, and for the reproving of the sinner. But the leaders of each section threw the messages out, and the few who were willing to sacrifice all for the truth were forced to part from the churches and march on with the light. Were the leaders willing to correct their errors and purify the church, there would have been but one section. By the denial of the church, each section cut itself off from the mighty arm of Yahweh. Thus not one of these churches have had any additional light on the scriptures other than that that was imparted unto them by the founders of each movement for the fact proves that the prophetic word of the Yahweh is correct, and the older the section, the greater the condemnation. Therefore, these churches are represented by the heads, for the blasphemy over them denotes that their fall. Should they refuse this last call also, then the revelation of these facts would be against them and will bring their final ruin. Got it? For the message regarding 144,000 and a call for the Reformation presented to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1930 was in a manner rejected. Therefore, as the leadership of the churches have never accepted a message at any time, they are certainly fulfilling the following prophecy. For the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what wisdom is in them? For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought Yahweh. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all the flock shall be scattered. Jeremiah 8:9-10:21. For the seven head of the leopard-like fish represents this mystery of the ungodliness and hypocrisy, showing how each one fell into the trap as they came to it. Therefore, since Lucifer's time and on, Yahweh has permitted that his people shall be cast out by the Satan's blood. For the unconverted, thus he has been calling this church from the movement, one movement to another. Therefore, they are to lower the standard and refuse to reform at the sound of the trumpet are the very ones who cause division in the church of the Lord. thou others his true brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary unto the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are set serve not our Savior, thy sheriff, but their own belly, and by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:17-18. Since the history of the church is such, and the last section of the letter of sins, Seventh Day Adventist, 1844-2002, that's how long the fourth movement for the Seventh Day Adventist was. It had three steps, it had three feeding pastures, and a total of five prophets. Actually, five designated prophets. You had Ellen G. White, V.T. Holler, Ben Roden, Rhoda Johnson, and Elijah David, the one speaking to you now. Because I worked in the last section of the Adventist movement, I worked in the 11th hour. That was the last hour to work prophetically. And it says the latest sin is 70 Adventist is in a worse condition and under or with a greater condemnation than any previous one, and as there is no time left for the calling out of a new movement, well, Richie Hollis thought being a part of the Adventist movement, he thought that was the last movement, so naturally he called it the last movement. But it wasn't. It was next to the last movement. So Richie Hollis, this would have been correct if he'd have said, if we're calling out a new movement, then a message of the amazing light and stern rebuke through the word of Yahweh with the manifestations of the divine judgment is the only remedy that can bring true conversion and reformation. Thus preparing the church for the standing without the spot, wrinkle, or any such thing of which only can be said. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, the church as a body, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that keep the commandments of the Yahweh, and have the testimony of the Asher, Revelation 12:17. It is the purity of the Seventh Day Adventist Church by bringing forth the 144,000 as the first fruit at her closure, incurs the wrath of the dragon. For these seven churches are also symbolized by the seven candlesticks, and the leadership of the same churches by the seven angels. So we read, for the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and of the seven golden candlesticks, for the seven stars are as the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks that thou sawest are of the seven churches, representing of the seven churches, Revelation 1:20. and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, Revelation 3:14. Note the message is addressed unto the angel, the prophet, placed over the leadership of the house of Israel, the spiritual house of Israel, the Adventist Church, 1970, Brother Steady Johnson. This is who is being addressed at this time, the leadership, called the angel, and not for the candlestick. Not to the candlestick or for the candlestick, for the church as a body. Therefore, their condemnation is not for the candlestick, but for the angel. As Charles thou sayest, I am rich and increasing with goods and have need of the nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. My brethren, this is not against you, for it is Yahshua speaking, who died for you, but it will be if you change not your course of the action. But the Yahshua, by the assembling of these seven churches into a group of the seven candlesticks, and giving of the blackest record unto the last one, the seventh one, let us say, which is the Adventist Church, is not calling the latest in Babylon, and neither is the interpretation of the heads doing so, for it is not because that the latest sins are better, or that they are not called Babylon, for their record is worse. Verily, it is for the showing of that on account of their increased light is with the being differently with them, for it is for the proving that if the angel leadership of the church of the Laodicean should reject the message of the true witness, which is Yahshua, he cannot call the 144,000 out from the midst of them into another movement by the call of the Revelation 18, come out of her, my people. But that's exactly what he did do. He called them out of the fourth movement of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, closing out the Adventist Church, and into a fifth movement with the house of David. Okay. In the 12th parabolic hour, closing out the Adventist Church in the 4th movement in the 11th parabolic hour, and calling them into the 5th movement in the 12th parabolic hour, that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her plague, Revelation 18:4, but rather by the message of the Revelation 7 and Ezekiel 9, this speedily releasing his people and quickly finishing their work and cutting it short in righteousness, because his short work will the Yahshua make upon the earth. Revelation 9:28. For the disobedience unto the word of Yahweh is blasphemy and blasphemy is a hypocrisy, That is to say, they are not what they possess to be, for the hypocrisy has the crying sin under the appearance of the virtue. For this sin of the hypocrisy is difficult to cure, and that it is not easily discovered by men. So we cannot understand the hearts of others, nor to discern between the cloak of the hypocrisy and the life of the holiness. For a spiritual deception has its beginning from being other than human, for therefore the scheme is so cunning that it cannot be discerned by the finite observation. This kind of deception can only be recognized under or with the close scrutiny of the Holy Word of Yahweh and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. For the effectual means for the churn of such a well-devised plan of the deception is with a steadfast belief, and that there is an all-seeing eye of the Yahweh who sees sin wherever it is, and will bring it into judgment. A hypocrite may hide his sin from the eyes of the others, and sometimes from his own conscience, but can never impose upon the Yahweh. For the Paul looking forward at such a time as this said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit sacrilege or adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through the breaking of the law, dishonest thou Yahweh? Romans 2:21-23. For the careless and indifferent Job comments as follows: for it shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of the dead shall devour his strength. Job 18:13. For the seven heads are for the symbolically pointing out of these high places ruled by the unsanctified leaders who have attempted for the mixing of the sacred with the common, and for the refusing for the hearing of the word of the Yahweh. For the biblical number 7 is with the denoting completeness, and naturally would comprise all of Christendom at the time that the prophetic truth is made known. Such apostasy is not a strange thing in the history of the Yahweh's people. For the time, and again, the church has fallen under or into a satanic flood. In the Luther's day, conditions were as bad as when the church crucified the Yeshua. If this generation is more wicked than any before it, what would immunize the church from just such an apostasy? It is accepted by most Bible students that the prophecies of this nature are understood only when the prophetic object in view is fully developed. Therefore, this is the time that the symbols are speak. However, there is another angle for this by which we shall prove that the facts presented are true. One head wounded unto death. For the John says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death. That's the last subtitle for our sermon today, is this one head wounded unto death. So it says, John says, I saw one of his heads that is wounded unto the death. As the wounded head has reference unto the stroke delivered unto the papacy by the Luther, as the exile of the Pope in 1798 was a sign of the completeness of the wound, and that the prophetic period had ended, thus fulfilling the word, for he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, Revelation 13:10. Had not the papacy received the deadly wound by the Luther, the Pope could not have been put into the prison by the French general, for behold, the pontifical authority received the Luther sword, the Pope reigned supreme. Verily, the blow weakened his power, and the result was that Protestantism came upon the stage of the action. The continual infliction began by the irritating of the head until finally the Pope landed behind the prison bars, for the annoyance continued until 1870, when ultimately the temporal power of the Pope was taken away. That being the last vexation of the head, it showed that it was left for the healing with the healing of his deadly wound. For the quoting of the words of the Luther, by explaining how the papacy was wounded. He said, I believe he said, for I put forward Yahweh's word, and I preached and wrote. This was all I did. And yet while I was asleep, the word that I had preached overthrew popery so that neither prince nor emperor has done it so much harm. And yet I did nothing. The word alone did it all. The Great Controversy, page 190. For I began this work in the Yahweh's name, said the Luther, and it will be ended without me and by his might. 142, page. Let none misunderstand the following statement, for the same author has recorded them both. Therefore, it would be unjust to misconstrue the one statement, for by so doing, we would throw out of the harmony the other. Speaking of the 1260 years, we read, this period, as stated in the preceding chapters, began with the supremacy of the papacy, A.D. 538, and terminated in 1798. At that time, the papal was made a chapter.
The Pope.
At that time, the Pope was made chapter by the French army, and the papal power received its deadly wound, and the prediction was fulfilled, for he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Page 439. Note that the aim of the author in this statement is not to tell how the wound was received, but for the showing that the prophetic word is with the ending, with the imprisonment of the Pope, which fulfilled not the words, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death. Revelation 13:3. But rather the scripture quoted, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Revelation 13:10. Shall we ignore Yahweh and his spirit and give unto Berthier the credit, thus justifying stupidity? His deadly wound was healed is our next subtitle. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Revelation 13:3. William Miller, by the proclaiming of the prophetic period of the 2300 days prior unto 1844, for that wonderful prophecy was delivered unto the Christendom with the great power by the Spirit of Yahweh, through, though the leaders of the nominal churches could not contradict the truth presented by the Miller, they turned a deaf ear unto the doctrine taught by him. But as a disappointment came in 1844 through the misunderstanding of what was to transpire at the end of the prophetic period, The movement created by the miller came to its end. The second angel message of the Revelation 14:8 had announced that Babylon, the church's power under 1844, had fallen. That is, to say that Yahweh would let no light shine upon his word through these fallen churches had the Yahweh not called forth another Protestant movement. The deadly wound would have been healed at that time. Okay, so Protestant movement was the Adventist movement. It prevented the deadly wound from being healed in 1844. It was delayed until 1929. So the Adventist movement in 1844 prevented the deadly wound from going in on the base. But the Adventist also delivered the beast and withdrew their protest hand from protesting in 1888-1890 at the General Conference meeting in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There in 1888, Adventists withdrew their protest, and so the deadly wound was healed by 1930. But Yahweh's intention was to keep the deadly wound on the head. But the prophetic word of Yahweh said his deadly wound was healed. And guess where the deadly wound ended up? It ended up on the seventh church, the Adventist church. It ended up on that head that represented them. Since Yahweh's holy word declares that the wound was healed, and as the prophecy cannot be broken, it is positive that the wound is healed. But the wound is on the seventh head, the 11th, 7th Adventist church. But if Protestantism, by the obedience unto the Yahweh's word, is what inflicted the wound, and true Protestantism can only keep the painful sore on the head. If the wound is healed, then it is evident that they to whom Yahweh had committed the message for the perishing world have been defeated in the same manner as every movement since the world began. It is a most wonderful thing to note how the old enemy has succeeded in the defiling of the church in every age through its leadership. The highest human intellect has been continually led into error, and thus have served Satan unto their own downfall. Well, the Yahweh's people, never a prophet by these historical and biblical facts, are not these things written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. For Yahweh by his holy word commands, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. As it has been accepted that the exile of the Pope in 1798 was a signal that the inflation had been accomplished. So then, as he had gained back his temporal power, it further proves that the deadly wound is healed. These facts cannot be denied, for it is admitted that the incident of 1798 is true. Therefore, the one in 1929 cannot be refuted. That being so, this is a time for the under which the prophetic symbol speaks, for his deadly wound was healed. Read the Shepherd God, Volume 1, where the entire volume deals with that subject. All the world wanted after the beast is our next subtitle. For his deadly wound was healed, John says, and all the world wanted after the beast. Note that the world wanted after the beast and not after the head. Therefore, it cannot mean that the world would necessarily have to enroll in the membership of the system represented by the head, for the significance is that all the world has partaken of the spirit of the beast willingness. For the world in general has never been otherwise. It could not be said that all the world wanted after the beast if the people whom the Yahweh has entrusted with the our gospel or the preaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, free from the spirit of the beast. But it must be that they have betrayed their trust and partaken of the spirit, where is the distinction between the church and the world. Our next subtitle is entitled The Name of Blasphemy. And upon their heads the name of blasphemy, that is, resistance of the known truth, expression of the defiant impiety, and irreverence towards the Yahweh, are things held sacred, mocking Yahweh's personality and authority. For the prophet Isaiah, looking forward unto this time of the wholesale deception headed by the so-called spiritual guides, says, and in that day seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own the bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name, and for the taking away of our reproach, Isaiah 4:1. It is an admitted fact among the Bible students that the churches are symbolized by a woman, a pure woman. It represents a pure church. As in the, Jeremiah 6:2, Revelation 12:1, vile women, corrupt church, as in the Revelation 17:4 and 5, Isaiah says there are seven women. The number comprises the same churches, for they say we want to eat our own bread, that is, they want to have their own way. They care not for the Yahweh's way or the Yahshua's way, where he says in John 14:6, Yahshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? For we will wear our own apparel, that is, they want their own plans. And the preference unto the Yahweh's plans are his righteousness, thereby clothed themselves of the self-righteousness. Their aim is to be called by the one man's name, that is Yahshua. That is by the name of the Yahshua. In that way they could be recognized as Christians for the taking away their reproach, for the people have come for the supposing that they can do almost anything under or within the guise of the Christianity and get away with it, for the Yahweh will let them continue their course until they, like the Belshazzar, have passed the boundary line of the divine grace, and then he will call them to account. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4. For the question may be asked, how can the professed Christians worship the dragon? For the answer is easy. And the worship of the dragon can be clearly seen. For the present system of the worship by the so-called Christian institution is unquestionably a pagan Sunday, Christmas, and Easter keeping, etc., originated in the ancient Babylon. From the old pagan religion in the honor of the Son God, for the Christians and the modern times assume to honor the Most High Yahweh with pagan customs, calling them Christian doctrines. Protestantism has taken a grip on these pagan festivals as a leech on a human body, as the sluggard sucks the blood, unaware that his satisfaction brings him for the destruction, with the Protestants and their pagan commemoratives, even daring to call them by the name of the Yahshua, blasphemy indeed. Every student of the ancient history knows this to be true. Likewise, even the Bible student knows these are the so-called Christian festivals are unbiblical as well as unchristian. If these institutions were Christian or biblical, they would certainly have been spoken of in the Bible. But since they are not found in the Word of Yahweh, a Christian had better leave them alone, lest they be found worshiping the dragon. This brings the end of our step. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Calling us number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. That's exactly what Lame was declaring.
Yeah.
And when Brother Johnson brought that fossilized cousin back to us, they had read it for 3 weeks, and Lame ordered several of them, and Daniel got one of them, and he read from it there at the 3 o'clock. When we'd have our, what do you call it? current events that Daniel had read from that for several months. So finally he said, well, he wasn't getting nothing out of that. He didn't see no need to finish reading that stuff. What were they saying? We're idol worshipers. We're serving, we're worshiping the old dragon, and we're going to continue worshiping the old dragon. That's what they were saying by their conduct. Say what you want to.
I know. You don't have to tell me.